Lord has given me a gift. Only one. I am the most complete fighter in the world.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with another episode in our continuing series on the greatest action stars of all time. This week, we are moving on to our second major actor. Last time we talked to Keanu Reeves, and reminder, these are not in any particular order. We will determine that order at the end of this. But joining me to talk about this one is the man who absolutely knows how to crush his enemies, how to see them driven before him, and how to hear the lamentations of their women. Scott Adkins, how are you today, my friend?
See your enemies crushed before you, the lamentation of the women. I'm feeling Arnold.
You're
feeling very Conan right now. Man, you guys, let's get out of here. No, enough of that. Let's put a stop to that straight away. Okay, Mike? No more of that from you, mate. Stop it. Too silly.
too silly. You're right. I'm sorry. That's my bad. I am bringing entirely too much silliness to the game. So, man, we're here to talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, what can you say? The Austrian oak, you know, there's two guys on our list in our top five that really, you could argue, created the action genre. I mean, smarter people than me would have to go into that, but it's an 80s phenomenon, really, isn't it? The real quintessential action movie that me and you would have grown up on when we were kids, thinking, the 80s action movie must have been around for all time, but really, it was a different vibe in the 50s, 60s, you know, 70s. But Schwarzenegger and another guy that we'll talk about, they created what is really the modern day action film. So how can you not have Schwarzenegger as one of the top five?
Yeah, I agree. You know, I was actually thinking about that as we were doing our honorable mentions list, and even when we were talking about Keanu, that I'm like, well, what about going back farther? Guys like, you know, Western stars like John Wayne or even Clint Eastwood. And you know, we talked about this a lot with the honorable mentions, that they're not really action movies the way that we are kind of defining them. Really, I love that you said it's really an 80s and on phenomenon, because that is the action, that's the type of action star that we are thinking of here. And we've addressed how it's changed a bit, but really it is something that got its start kind of in that 80s era, with because it goes hand in hand, I feel like, with blockbusters and the hall, you know, everybody kind of credits the Hollywood blockbuster as starting with Jaws and then obviously Star Wars. So it really kind of goes hand in hand with those type of movies. And so you didn't really get that until the 80s.
No, yes, it was bigger than life, wasn't it? The bigger the muscles, the bigger the guns, the bigger the body counts, the bigger the explosions. It almost seemed like, you know, Schwarzenegger and Stallone were just trying to outdo each other. And, you know, I'll kill more people than you, and I'll get the best physique, and, you know, we'll have I'll get the biggest payday, and I'll have the biggest budget movie. And yeah, it's just, when you think of action stars, yeah, Schwarzenegger is, you know, that's what you think of. That's the archetype, isn't it?
He absolutely is. And it really is fascinating how quickly that arms race sort of developed. You know, I don't know when Schwarzenegger first kind of popped up on your radar, but for me, that's the reason I made the joke about it at the start. For me, it was Conan the Barbarian. I saw that movie way too young, had no business seeing it. But, you know, and was just absolutely blown away by this hunk of granite starring in this movie. And it really only takes a few years after that before he's, you know, he and Stallone really are doing their, like, arms race, who can get the bigger budgets and stuff like that. It's really fascinating how fast this sort of rise happened.
Yeah, I don't, you know, the first memory I have of Schwarzenegger is there's an old film journalist in England called Barry Norman, and he used to do, you know, film 85, film 86, film 87, film 91, you know, every year it was called film and that year. And I just remember seeing the clip for Commando on that show. And I remember it was the clip where he, or his stunt double, swung down the balloon thing and landed on the top of that elevator lift thing. Incredible stunt. Whoever did that was brilliant, because he's actually holding onto that. And then when he gets right above the lift, lets go of it at just the right moment to drop down. So that is a brilliant stunt, because you can't be cabled in or anything. It seems like you just had to do it, timing and everything. But anyway, yeah, Commando was the first time I saw him. And as soon as that film came out on video, watched it. I love Conan the Barbarian, but I don't remember seeing that before Commando. I think Commando was the first time I watched a Schwarzenegger film, because I was young. But, you know, it's, you know, Running Man and all those action films that were coming out at the time. And he had Red Sonja and Conan the Barbarian. I love that film so much. And I've seen it so many times. It's a great film and he's great in it. And I love the fact that there's hardly any talking in it. It's just that beautiful music for the whole runtime of the movie. But even something like, of course... Sorry, my brain's not working too well tonight. Pumping Iron. Like, you know, that's, Pumping Iron's incredible. And especially for someone that's interested in bodybuilding, that I've seen that film a lot as well. That's an amazing semi-documentary.
Well, and it's the first thing that really does sort of establish, I think, this unique persona. Or I don't even want to say persona, but this unique character that is Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Like this bigger than life personality. You already kind of see that in Pumping Iron, and you see it in, you know, when in Stay Hungry and some of those other things. And so it's like when he does come in Conan, and I love that you brought this up about Conan, that there's very little dialogue, especially from him, but what dialogue he does have absolutely, you know, counts. And I love that John Milius knew how to use him that way. You get the crush your enemies line, but then you also get, you know, right before the last battle, and we'll crumb then the hell with you, you know. And it's, oh, just,
I still say that all the time.
It's,
I still do that myself. I go, I have to go again. He goes, crumb, I never prayed you before. Don't have the tongue for it. And then he goes, and if you're not listening, there's the how with you. Oh, I love it. That's what I say sometimes before I'm about to do something that's a bit difficult or dangerous. I always have a little pray to Crumb, and then I do it. Just in case he's listening.
Just in case. And if he's not, then yeah, the hell with him. But it's such a, it's such an amazing, like, line to lead up, and Schwarzenegger gives it, you know, he gives it his all. And then of course, you know, a couple years later we get Terminator, which is also, again, another one that it's like Cameron so knew how to use this guy and make him look like this imposing presence that he is in real life.
Well, I think Milius said about Conan, didn't he? He said, if we didn't have Schwarzenegger, we would have had to have built him. Talking about finding someone to play Conan. And yeah, Cameron. So a lot of the guys will talk about, you know, like Chow Yun-Fat, we were talking about. Chow Yun-Fat wouldn't have been the guy that he is without John Woo behind him. And I think to a certain degree, you can say the same thing about Schwarzenegger and James Cameron. because obviously they've done many films together, and the films that Schwarzenegger did with Cameron were his biggest movies. So the pairing of those two together was phenomenal. And that happens for a lot of these guys, to be honest, you know. But yes, Terminator. I mean, James Cameron is one of my all-time favorite directors. And I know he's, you know, I know not a lot of people would say that because they don't want to follow popular culture. He's almost so popular that you don't want to say you're such a fan of him, but he's such an amazing director. And he always knows how to deliver a popcorn, audience-pleasing movie. But Terminator is just gritty down to earth, isn't it? It's like just gritty guerrilla filmmaking. It's exceptional filmmaking.
Yeah, I've actually always argued that it's as much a horror movie as like a sci-fi action movie. I mean, the Terminator basically is just Jason stalking these people, and but it's so raw, and it's so and the stuff that they're able to accomplish on the budget that they were working with on that movie is, you know, just absolutely mind-blowing.
What an idea for a film, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was he ripping anyone off when he came up with that idea? Because The Matrix certainly ripped him off, didn't it? The Matrix takes a lot from The Terminator.
It depends on whether you ask Harlan Ellison or not, because Harlan Ellison is very adamant that Cameron ripped off one of his novels for The Terminator, and there's been a lot of back and forth on it, but...
Right.
I think
because it's such an incredible idea. It's like, Jesus, how did you come up with that? That's like the ultimate. The bad guy comes back from the future to kill the mother of the leader of the resistance. It's just a great idea, isn't it?
It's a fantastic idea. And then to, you know, one of the things that I love about it, and I've said this before on some other podcasts, one of the things I love so much about it is the movie uses, it's got all these really cool special effects, but honestly, its two best special effects are Schwarzenegger and Michael Biehn, because you've got Schwarzenegger, who Cameron shoots as this unstoppable killing machine, and then Michael Biehn, who is so human in that movie, it's almost painful, right? Like that guy, he moves like every joint in his body causes him agony every time he moves. And
stunt, when the stunt double lands on the concrete and just hits it with a sickening thud, that's horrible.
Absolutely. And so you've again got, you know, like we kind of talk about with some of your movies, where you can really blend the special effects, but the best special effects are always going to be your actors still. And I think this is a perfect example of that. And Cameron has, I might argue, has somewhat lost sight of the ability to do that a bit. But certainly when he was making Terminator, he had that straight up, that he had all these cool special effects, but his best special effects were still his actors.
Ingenuity as well, though, like the shot where the arm punches through the windscreen. The fact that just the idea to come up with something like that on a low budget film. Pretty much, right? You know, and they're doing stuff like that. It's amazing.
Yeah, extremely low budget film at the time. Like, I don't know, I can't remember what it was, but unbelievably low budget film. But also a big enough hit that it now really fully catapults our boy Arnie into, you know, a run that I think is the reason that we are... kind of we're talking about him as one of these, right? Because his run from, let's call it, from Commando up to Terminator 2 is maybe unrivaled by any run that any other action star has had in terms of just gargantuan success and genre defining movies.
Remind me of the run. Have you got it in front of you?
I do. So we're going to do Commando, Raw Deal, Predator, Running Man, Red Heat, Twins, which is an interesting one. Total Recall, Kindergarten Cop, and Terminator 2.
Mm. Raw Deal. That was a misfire.
That one was a misfire. They weren't all winners, for sure. Yeah. That was a misfire. There's no
question. Red Heat was a bit, come on, as well. That was a little bit not quite there, in my opinion. But all of the others, even Twins, which is, good fun. Fantastic. Predator. Predator is probably, I don't know if it could well be the best action film ever made.
I mean, it's definitely in the running. It is such a well-oiled machine for what it is trying to do, which is to be a sci-fi action movie. And John McTiernan knew how to, I mean, he literally followed this up with Die Hard, right? So the guy knows what he's doing, but also he made the most well-oiled machines out of these movies. Everything works the way it's supposed to, and everything fits and has a purpose. In spite of the fact that they had to recast the Predator because Jean-Claude Van Damme was not working out, which is,
I don't think it was his fault, though, was it? Have you seen that stupid-looking Predator that
I don't
use originally? What the hell? It was like an anteater or something.
Yeah, I don't think it was his fault, and I think the biggest problem is they just didn't realize that what they really needed was a much bigger actor to be the Predator. That's the thing, is...
I just think they designed it wrong at that point. They must have been looking at that thing on set thinking, Jesus, what is this? And Van Damme's probably taking it personally as well, because he's in there with his head bobbling around. But the Predator that they ended up with, I mean, that is a fantastic creature design. It's amazing how they went from that stupid looking thing to one of the best and scariest, creature designs that we've ever seen, up there with Alien and whatever else. I mean, the Predator, that's incredible. The reason that there's been so many sequels is because of how that creature looked. Cool as hell.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's how you know it worked, right? Is because we've seen that Predator design for 30 years, 35 years now, because it's such an iconic look. And that's how we ended up with Aliens vs. Predator. It is just like the Alien. It's just one of those instantly iconic looks. It's cool as hell. It has enough character and enough motivation that it works great as a foil. Like, Arnie is actually fighting another character, even though it is this monster. And then, of course, this is also when we really, I think, start to get a lot of those winking jokes that started to make Schwarzenegger so entertaining and so fun, right? Like when the Predator takes its mask off and he's like, "You're one ugly motherfucker,"
But I'll tell you something about Predator, though. It's an intense movie, and yes, it's pure popcorn entertainment, but it never winks at itself too much. Like, you're scared for him at the end there. It's a brilliant film. It starts off with all those big massive characters, that a humongous action sequence at the beginning with all the explosions and the gunfire and people getting riddled with more bullets than you can imagine. And obviously he stabs that guy and goes, "Stick around." And that's the stuff we love Arnold for. But it didn't go, I mean, he had to put a one-liner in there occasionally, but it never had too many of them. And then by the time the whole team's getting took out and you're down to just Arnold, and he's putting the mud on him and everything, and it's him in the wilderness against this huge creature. It's Arnold at his very best for me. It's quite an intense film, I think. And at the end, you're worried about him. You're not sure if he's going to be able to survive. And he's having the absolute crap kicked out of him. Oh, the Predator, man. One of the best action films ever made, if not the best action film ever made. And if you're not going to say Predator, you're probably going to say it's Die Hard. Same director, so,
Yeah, McTiernan was a master, you know, and I agree. I think this is one of the reasons I really like Predator is Schwarzenegger made such a career of being a relatively unstoppable monster. You know, think John Matrix in Commando, right? Who just mows down bad guys left and right. And I love in Predator that he's actually vulnerable. He gets hurt. He's in danger. He loses his friends. It's actually, I think, a lot more interesting role for him than a lot of people give him credit for in that one, which I think is what makes it work. Because the same year also came out a movie that I love to death, but that I don't necessarily think has that level of depth, which is Running Man. Which is also, you know, filled with quips and stuff like that. But
yeah, that's Arnold very much being Arnold. But yeah, he gives a good performance in Predator. You know, he's very believable in that role, and he believes he cares about his men. And he was very invested, I would say.
What else in this run, Scott, do you want to, you know, we obviously could sit here and go through every single movie that Schwarzenegger ever did, but that would take forever. And honestly, I think it might get a little dull for people to listen to us just talk about this one or this one. Are there any in this particular run that really stand out to you? Say, maybe Total Recall or Terminator 2?
Total Recall was a great one. I mean, you know, when we were growing up, the action films were really violent at the time, weren't they? And that has changed now. I mean, you still get violent action films, but back then, every action film was an 18 certificate, extremely violent. And something like Total Recall, and with Paul Verhoeven directing, and he loved a bit of violence, didn't he? That one really stands out. I just remember Arnold Schwarzenegger holding that guy in front of him as he's going up the escalator, and he's getting riddled with bullets. Oh, some terrible stuff in that. Yeah, I mean, the action films of those days, they were so violent. And like Commando, I never seen the bit in Commando where the guy's head got cut off when he threw the chainsaw or whatever it was. There's that metal disc cuts the top of the guy's head off. I never saw it for a long time because that was banned in England. And then I managed to see it later on in life, see the top of the guy's head come off. I mean, it was brilliant stuff. So for me, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, it was Commando, it was Predator. Running Man is great, and I'm glad to see that they're going to remake it, actually, because it was felt that deserved a remake in some ways, because there's different ways you can play it. But yeah, and The Terminator and Terminator 2. I mean, it's no good going on about the other Terminators, but for me, I prefer Terminator 1 to Terminator 2, and Terminator 2 is incredible.
Thank you. I agree with you, but we are in a small group as far as that goes. I absolutely prefer Terminator to Terminator 2.
Yeah, it's gritty, isn't it? And it's just, violent again, and he's pretty scary. Yeah, taking his own eye out and everything. But Terminator 2, so much fun. True Lies, I mean, that's great, isn't it? And that's full on, like, that's as comedy as Cameron's ever gone, really.
Yeah. True Lies is one that actually, you know, for me is, I will fully admit, that one's a bit of a miss for me, from both Cameron and Schwarzenegger. That one just, it doesn't work for me. I can objectively look at it and go, okay, everything they accomplished here is great. And I do absolutely think the bathroom shootout, you know, especially in 1994, we're getting some Chow Yun Fat style stuff where Schwarzenegger's, you know, sliding on the ground and grabbing guns. And then it turns into that horse chase. And
at the beginning, he's sliding down in the snow on his back, firing the guns. That was completely John Wick.
Yep. Yeah. Cameron and everybody had clearly discovered
that brilliant bit where he kicks the machine gun up at the end. He stamps on it, it comes up, and then he shoots the guy. That bit's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can objectively appreciate all the cool stuff. It's just narratively, I don't know. It's a bit of a miss for me. I am really curious your thoughts on Last Action Hero. Because that is a very divisive Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah, I liked The Last Action Hero. There's so much in there to love about it. Unfortunately, it's got a bloody cartoon cat in it. I mean, what's going on there? I've never understood that choice. Like, it was so good. And then the cartoon cat comes. It's like, you've gone too far. Just stick with the silly sort of 80s action hero thing that works so well in it. But yeah, I like that film a lot. It was a great idea. And McTiernan is so good with the camera. The way he moved that camera around is excellent. It didn't fully deliver on its promise. It went too silly in places, I suppose. But it was still good.
Yeah, it does a weird thing of going too silly in some places and then way too serious in others.
The end is pretty dark, isn't it?
Yeah, the end gets real serious. And so it's a little bit of a weird mishmash. I think it is a movie that I have noticed on social media is one of those movies that has been being reevaluated over the last 5 or 10 years. And a lot of people are you know, much bigger fans of it and are kind of championing it. I always thought the way that it poked fun at, you know, these sort of action hero tropes was a lot of fun and was really clever and really well done. And then some of the stuff in the real world doesn't quite work as well for me. But again, I think the reason I was asking about it is what I love is this shows, much like Twins did, much like even Kindergarten Cop does, that Schwarzenegger was not one of the things I like about him is he was not necessarily consumed with maintaining his appearance. He was more than happy and has been most of his career, more than happy to poke fun at himself and challenge himself to do different things. And I think that's one of his biggest assets, actually. Because there's a lot of big dudes out there, but there's very few big dudes that are as clever as Arnold Schwarzenegger can be.
He's an extremely shrewd businessman, and that comes across in his career choices. But he's got such an amazing personality. Like, he would go on stage as a bodybuilder, and what I would recognize from his routine compared to all the other guys, his routine was simple. He'd pull off like maybe five or six poses and just go through it again and again and again. And that always stood out to me, that he knew what he needed to do and what worked. He didn't need to overkill it because he had such a magnetic personality anyway. His head is just, the camera loves his head like no head has been loved by any camera before or since. And he's not, you know, a classically good looking guy or something like that, but he's just every angle of his head. He looks amazing. Arnold has never been a great actor at all. You know, he's rarely would you watch a film and rave about his performance. Arnold always played Arnold, and that's what you wanted to go and see, that bigger than life personality. He's so great on the talk shows and all the rest of it. He was going to be a star. He was destined to be a star. I think it's very important to be, if we're talking about the best action guys, one thing you'll hear me talk about a lot is being a good actor. But I don't think that applies to Arnold, because he was just an amazing personality and so charismatic. And the greatest bodybuilder that's ever been, really. I mean, you know, I'm not an expert or anything, but his physique was big enough that it was crazy impressive and like, Jesus, look at that. But it was never too big. You know, it's almost, for me, the perfect physique, like in terms of being as big as you can possibly be, that was the best physique. You wouldn't want to be that much bigger than that. It was just perfect for a bodybuilder. And dedicated his life to action. And of course, he came out of it to go into politics, which is a shame, I think. Obviously, he's got his interest and it's up to him what he does. But we lost out on a lot of good Schwarzenegger films, I reckon, because of that decision.
Yeah, yeah, we did. Although I will say, I do want to talk a little bit about his acting, because, and this ties into him going into politics, because in particular, I think some of the stuff he's done since he's gotten out of politics have been very interesting. But what I do like is I think he's a better, maybe better actor than he gets credit for. I don't think he's got a lot of range. I don't think that's indisputable, right? Like, he does not have a lot of range. He is Arnold. But he always tried to do something, I think, interesting within that range. You know, the way I did a series on the other show that I do where we talked about all the Terminator movies. And what was really fascinating to me was watching the way Arnold plays the Terminator. He's in five of the six movies, and the way he plays the Terminator is different every single time. Like, he plays five distinct characters in those five movies. That's not easy, I don't think, as a fan to do. And so now, that being said, I think part of that is three of those came sort of towards the latter part of his career, when I do think, like I was mentioning, I think he's a more interesting actor now. I think his time in politics has made him more interested in trying to do more with roles that he's given. But I really do think, say what you will about those Terminator sequels, and there's a lot that can be said, he's doing some really interesting shit in them, every single one of them.
Yeah, well, I think when he's with a director that can bring out a good performance in him, he always did. Like, obviously, Cameron did every time. John McTiernan did. You know, other directors. And he look, it's weird for me to be talking, critiquing Arnold Schwarzenegger's acting, because, you know, no one's going to be telling me that I'm the best actor either. But it's just, you know, he definitely got better as he got on. But it just wasn't. It wasn't the be-all and end-all for him. He was a personality, and he didn't really ever try and be anyone other than Arnold Schwarzenegger, because that's who you were going to watch. You wanted to go and see Arnold with his big muscles and his one-liners, smashing people up and, you know, killing gazillions of people and carrying the big guns and everything. But yeah, he certainly improved, as we all do, but he was never a natural actor. I wasn't a natural actor when I started. I had to work very hard at it. And he was a bit mechanical in his acting when he was starting out. And that's why the Terminator fit really well, I guess. But you could see the thought process. It didn't flow as much. But yeah, far be it for me to critique his acting. But, you know, it's this, everyone would say the same thing, I'm sure.
No, absolutely. And, you know, and he's very John Wayne in that way, where you went to see a John Wayne movie because you wanted to see John Wayne. And Wayne would do some interesting stuff in the margins, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And I think that's what Arnold does. But you're right. And I think that might actually be the most interesting thing, is you said when he started, he was very mechanical. And I think even in something like Predator, as good of a performance as that is, you can still see him trying to act, thinking about it a little too much. And I think that's one of the things I really like about some of his later stuff, is he's much more natural now. You know, one of the ones, I don't know if you've even seen it, because it didn't make very much money at the box office, but The Last Stand.
Great director,
absolutely fantastic director, for people that don't
know. That was the first one coming out of politics, wasn't it?
It was, and it's directed by the great Kim Ji-won, and he is so light on his feet in that movie. You know, you can just almost feel how happy he is to be on a movie set and acting again. That I really I think that's one for people listening. That's a kind of an unheralded Schwarzenegger film that I think more people should check out.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that, and I was excited for it because actually I remember talking to Arnold. You see, here we go. Here's a story. Training with Arnold in the gym in Bulgaria, doing a bit of the old back and biceps with the man. And I remember saying to him, I'm really looking forward to The Last Stand, Arnold, because I'm a big fan of the director. And he was impressed that I knew who the director was, and I'd seen some of his other movies. And I remember going, yeah, I know my stuff, Arnold. That's going to be a good film, that is. And it was a good film.
Yeah, you know, and he plays. The other thing I like about Arnold a lot, and I'm just thinking about this and I'm going to come back to you training with him, because I actually had on sort of my list here, I did want to talk to you a little bit. I know the whole point of this is for you not to talk about yourself, but obviously you have done a movie with Arnold, and so I kind of feel like we need to at least spend a little time talking about that. But I also like that he's a very generous actor, I guess is the best way to say it, in that, especially in his later career, he's more than happy to let his co-stars get their chance to shine. I'm thinking of like Johnny Knoxville in The Last Stand. You know, Knoxville gets as much to do and have as much fun in that movie as Arnold does. He's very happy to let the other people around him get their times in the spotlight as well, which is not always something that you can say about certain action stars. I won't name.
Well, I think Arnold, the way he would approach it, it seems that is that, you know, he didn't really, I guess he wasn't coming into filmmaking as an artist or a filmmaker. It almost seemed like he was a bodybuilder and he wanted to get into the movies. But he would always very much trust the director. So you could see that he would just, you know, do whatever John Milius said. When it came to Cameron, you know, he would always try and choose the best director and let that director make his film. And his job was to make sure that you chose the right director and then shut up and do as the director says, to a degree, you know. Whereas there's other guys who, like somebody like Stallone, who's, you know, writing and directing and all the rest of it, that would be a different vibe. You know, Arnold's never directed a movie. I don't think he's written a script like that. So it seems that he had a lot of trust in the directors that he chose, and he would try to choose the best director. And yeah, you know, that would be the best plan to make the best movie for him.
Lest people yell at you for being incorrect, I do have to point out he did direct a TV movie called Christmas in Connecticut in 1992.
did he really?
He did, with Diane Cannon.
Oh my God, how do I not know about this?
And Chris Christopherson and Tony friggin' Curtis, of all people.
Who directed it, him or them?
He did.
All together.
He's the credited director on it. So
you seen it?
I saw it when it came out. It is on for people who are curious what a Christmas movie directed by Arnold Schwarzenegger is like. It is, at least in the U.S. here, it is available to rent or purchase on Amazon.
Is it any good, though?
I don't remember it being very good when I watched it. I remember it being...
No Jingle All the Way, is it?
It's no Jingle All the Way. Although, you know, the thing is now, those Hallmark Christmas movies are such a phenomenon now. They're such an industry that I do wonder if it might be more well received now because of the way, you know, so many people are just crazy for those Hallmark, those Canadian Hallmark Christmas movies. And so they might actually like it. And at least this one you can say is directed by Arnold Schwarzenegger. So there you go.
But you know what I mean, though? It was almost like he was almost like a producer, Schwarzenegger, isn't he? You know, I'm going to make the biggest, the way he would really sell the movies, you know, it's got the biggest explosion, it's got the biggest budget, it's this and this, it's that, it's this director. He almost spoke more like a producer than a filmmaker in many ways.
The man understood branding in a way that a lot of his contemporaries did not. right? Like, you know, and now we know here in the social media age, branding is everything. And Schwarzenegger absolutely understood branding. He knew what the Schwarzenegger brand was. And he was very careful, even when something was a misfire, he was very careful to not tarnish the Schwarzenegger brand. Very astute.
Well, every movie, every new Schwarzenegger movie, even if he knew it was bad, he would just sell it to the ninth degree, you know. This is amazing. He was a businessman. He was a salesman. And that's what we loved about him. He was brilliant at it. That's why he should have gone into politics, because he had that sort of brain on him.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll never forget MTV, either MTV or HBO. I can't remember. I just pulled this out of the deep, dark recesses of my brain. He did a bit with the kid from Last Action Hero, and they were talking about the movie. Austin O'Brien's the kid's name, but they were talking about the movie as a behind-the-scenes thing, and Austin O'Brien says, I think the movie comes out this Friday, and I'll never forget it, because they left it in. Schwarzenegger goes, no, hold on, I'm not going to try and do a Schwarzenegger accent. Hold on, you never want to say it comes out this Friday, because you don't know when the audience is going to be watching this. So what you need to say is it comes out Friday, June 26th, or whatever the date was. And I remember seeing that all the way back in 93 and being like, oh, wow, that's actually brilliant to always, like, when you're talking about when a movie comes out, because you never know when somebody's going to see that, to make sure that you're saying the date, not it comes out in 2 days or it comes out on Friday. And that, to me, just is, like, in a nutshell, what he was so good at as far as that type of stuff goes.
Yeah. One of my favorite Schwarzenegger stories, and I read it in a magazine, and he was in Cannes, and he's walking around with his big stogie, you know, smoking on this cigar, and he gets into an elevator, and somebody steps into the elevator with a lit cigarette, and Schwarzenegger's in there with his lit cigar smoking it. And he looks at the guy with the cigarette and just goes, put that out. That just cracks me up. And continues to smoke his stogie. Oh, that's just funny.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Any other movies that you want to talk about in particular with Schwarzenegger? Any other ones before I start asking you all sorts of questions about Expendables 2? Any other movies that you in particular want to talk about with Schwarzenegger?
Well, no, look, there's so many action movies that he did. He's one of the ultimates because they were huge blockbusters. They were proper full-on action films. He dedicated his life to being an action star. And he's just the sort of iconic action star, isn't he? That for us, our age, you know, he was the guy. Him and Stallone were the guys bringing out the biggest and the best action films, and, you know, just so much entertainment. And you're still watching those movies again and again and again. Main man. And I'm very fortunate. His nephew is my entertainment lawyer, and so might as well get onto Expendables 2 now, actually, because Patrick would come over, and obviously Patrick's my lawyer, so when you know, on the Expendables, all the big stars kind of have their entourage, and I was in the Arnold camp because of my relationship with Patrick, and so I was always hanging around with that lot, which was pretty cool. I remember, because I'd seen Pumping Iron so many times, and the little tricks that they would play on each other with food and things like that. And somebody came, I was talking to Arnold, somebody came around with a tray of cookies. And, you know, it's the Expendables, we're all trying to stay in shape, have been hitting the gym every night. And he has a cookie, and then he looks at me and goes, do you want one? And I'm thinking, oh, is this a trick? Is he trying to punk me into having a cookie here? And I said, no, I'm staying in shape. And he goes, okay, I'll have one. And then I felt like, oh, no, I'll have one, Arnold. But I couldn't figure out whether he tricked me or not. These were the things that were going through my head. I've seen Pumping Iron too many times. But, yeah, I got to train in the gym with him and spend a bit of time with him. And he's just a funny guy, man. just constantly making jokes, just fun to be around, you know, doesn't take life too seriously. And I know he does an enormous amount for charity, which is fantastic. And of course, he went into politics and served the people. And he always talks about, you know, he felt it was a privilege to be able to serve the American people. And, you know, you got to respect that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a thing that he always, you know, really seemed to want to do. And yeah, he just seems, you know, I've been joking lately a lot over the last year because his YouTube videos and his Instagram videos have become so popular that it's like he's now turned into like America's grandpa, right? With Whiskey and Lulu, his donkey and his goat or whatever. And he just has always seemed to be such a genuinely, I know, you know, I'm sure there are things that people will point out that haven't always been the best part of his life, but he's just always seemed to be a fairly genuinely cool person to
nobody's perfect. You live your life under a magnifying glass, you know, but he's done an enormous amount for people all over the world.
And that's just always carried over into his roles, right? You just always like watching. I know for me, I've always, growing up, I was always a fan of another actor on our list more. You know, you were either a this person or a Schwarzenegger guy. Well, I gotta just say it. You were either kind of like a Stallone guy or a Schwarzenegger guy. And I was always a Stallone guy. But as I've gotten older, I've really come to appreciate just how fucking much I like watching Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, he just is so enjoyable and entertaining to watch. And that is, you know, you mentioned he's not a natural actor, but that kind of natural charisma, that shit's hard to teach. That's what he's bringing to the table. Can't teach
it. Yeah, you either have it or you don't have it. He was a natural comedian, for sure. I mean, he was natural in those comedic films that really worked for whatever reason. But you're going back to you were either Arnold or you were Stallone. I was both. I was absolutely both. Love them both equally. And it's such a shame that they didn't team up when they were at their peak, because that would have been incredible, wouldn't it? You know, when they were both around the 40 mark, if they'd done a movie together, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, it always seems to be that way, right? And I actually like Escape Plan. I think Escape Plan's actually pretty decent, but it's clearly not.
Not like a proper action film, though, is it really?
No, and it's not what you. It's, I think, the same thing when I think of The Forbidden Kingdom, which was the Jackie Chan Jet Li team up. And it's like, they're both fine movies, but they're not what you want from the team up of those titans. That's why I actually think you know, you've been very lucky, or not lucky, you've worked your ass off for it. I don't want to say lucky, like, but we have had the opportunity to see you team up with some of these people at their heights, and that's actually very cool to, I think, a lot of people, is that we know what a Scott Adkins, Marco Zaror team up is going to look like, right? Or we even know what a Scott Adkins and Jean-Claude Van Damme team up is going to look like. We don't have to wait 20 years to get the watered down version of what that's
what we wanted was the $200 million Stallone-Arnold team up in the early 90s. That's what we should have had.
Yeah, what we wanted was exactly that. We wanted something like, we wanted a $200 million tango in cash with the two of them, right? Like, just this thing where they're on opposite sides, they snipe at each other, but then they have to team up, and then they have
What we wanted was Rambo and Matrix in the same film together.
Yeah, pretty much.
And some bad guys.
Yeah, yeah. And we never got it, you know, and certainly Escape Plan is not that. It's a lot of fun. It's a good movie. I think Jim Caviezel is doing a terrific villain in that. But that's not the movie that we necessarily wanted, unfortunately. All right. Well, so, yeah, anything else you want to add? I mean, he, one of the tough parts that I was thinking about this series is it's like, it's going to be hard to say anything about somebody like Arnold Schwarzenegger that hasn't already been said, mostly. Yeah. So, you know, for me, this is mostly just about, I don't know if you'll ever hear this or not, but it's mostly about, like, I just want, you know, I want everybody on this list to know how much we love them and how much they've meant to us. And certainly Arnold fits that bill.
Yeah, well, it's all changing now, isn't it? The action cinema, in a way. I mean, like, we were watching Schwarzenegger and Stallone in the 80s, 90s, and we're teenagers. Teenagers these days, it's all the comic book movies. So the archetype of the action star is different these days. So I wonder, you know, what they'll be saying when they're mid-40s about who the action guys were when they were kids. Or will they even say that? They're just talking about who was your favorite superhero guy, I suppose. But yeah, what a glory to grow up in those years, the glory days of action cinema. We should think ourselves lucky, Mike.
Oh, I do. I do. There's no question. I mean, so much of it, you know, you and I have talked a lot about that I don't want to say that action is a dying art, because it's not. I mean, I think there's probably better action being done now than ever before, but it's all unfortunately having to be constrained to movies that are shot in 3 weeks and with, you know, a $2 or $4 million budget, as opposed to, you know, Schwarzenegger and Cameron getting to basically almost bankrupt an entire studio making one of the most kick-ass action movies of all time, right? Like, it's a very different world now. And
well, that Terminator 2, that helicopter flies under the bridge, doesn't it? That is completely insane. Yeah. Somebody actually did that.
Yep.
You would never do that today, because why would you? Because, you know, you can do anything you want in the computer. But that is what makes these films different. Because in those old Bond films, they had to do those stunts. If it wasn't in camera, it wasn't going to happen. And that's what I love about the old 80s, 90s action films and the 70s. You know, the stunts were real stunts. Actually, in Commando, he gets hit by a car. Arnold, doesn't he? Was it him that actually did that stunt? Or am I thinking there's another stunt that he actually did himself? I might have got it completely wrong. He smashes through the window at the end.
I actually don't know. I don't know. So I'm sure people listening will let us know for sure. So let us know, because
the point is, part of those, the glory of those movies was that, you know, it was real stunts, and you had to get guys like Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger to be the action heroes that were the real deal. You couldn't fake it. You know, you had to look like him. It was the real deal time. That's why I love it. That's why it's the golden age for me.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, you know, going back to who we talked about last week, you know, that's one of the things with Keanu that we liked too, is he's doing the work. He is the real deal. And obviously one of the other people on the list that is the real deal is Tom Cruise. I mean, he's really, you know, I'll save most of this for the episode when we talk about Tom Cruise, but he's really holding that stunt heavy,
yeah,
practical effect torch.
He's
the only one really holding on to it, and it's cause he's got the clout to do it. Not much of that else being done anywhere outside of him.
Well, that's why you're going to go and watch that movie in IMAX, because you need to see it in IMAX, because it's been done like that. And the same with Christopher Nolan. You know, he's shooting stuff in camera and putting it on that IMAX format, and it forces you to go to the cinema. Which, you know, as we know, the cinemas are almost becoming a thing of the past. Well, these guys, and I'm sure Cameron is going to bring back the theatrical experience in a big way. No matter what you think about Avatar 2, 3, 4, 5, however many that are coming out, I'm sure he's up to something that's going to be revolutionary, and we're all going to be going back to the theaters to watch it.
Right. Like, never bet against Cameron. You know, I remember all the stuff about how over budget Terminator 2 was, and then Terminator 2 comes out, and how over budget True Lies was, and then True Lies comes out, and how over budget Titanic was.
He's going to finish 20th Century Fox. They're going to be ruined.
Yep. And yeah, never bet against Cameron. And you are right. That's because Cameron is, you know, we've talked a lot about
how. They said the same thing about Avatar, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. And we've talked a lot about how these actors, the reasons they made the list is they push the genre forward. They drive it. You know, Schwarzenegger changed cinema when he teamed up with Cameron. And that's Cameron. Cameron is that for directors. Like, I can give a bunch of criticisms of James Cameron movies, but I cannot argue with the fact that he every damn time pushes cinema forward. He changes some technique, some technology, something. And that's getting rarer and rarer.
He invents stuff that people go on to use in filmmaking from then on. And I'm sure he'll be doing it again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure you might be able to correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure that you guys shot Day of Reckoning with the exact same cameras that he used, the same 3D cameras that he used on Avatar. I think it was one of the first movies post Avatar to use those same cameras. I could be wrong because it's been a while since I did my research on that movie. But either way, you know, that's
the one with the mirrors, the dual mirrors. So it was like two cameras attached at a 90-degree angle. Heavy things. Nobody wanted it, really. Nobody wanted to shoot it in 3D, but it was part of what got the finance to be what it was. So everyone had to get on with it. But yeah, it was difficult.
Yeah, I knew John didn't really want to do it that way. And I, you know, we talked a little bit about this when we did the episode on it. You and I talked a little bit about how much harder
we didn't even have playback because they said it was going to cost too much to set up a replay because it was 3D cameras. So you could never check if the hits were a hit with the fights and stuff like that. Just had to lie on Larnell, which was fine, but it was frustrating. Anyway, I'm not talking about that, but yeah.
No. Other than to just say, I guess if you have to rely on something, relying on Larnell is probably okay. That's probably going to work out better for you more often than not. All right, man. Well, we've been going on for about an hour, and we're trying to keep these to about an hour. So I will just say any other final thoughts about Schwarzenegger.
What's your favorite Schwarzenegger movie, Mike?
It is The Terminator.
Terminator, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd go Predator. I'm a huge Cameron fan, but Predator is just the perfect action film. Probably say it's the best action film ever made. It's brilliant. I love it. I love it so much.
Well, I'm going to make a note of that because when we start fighting over our placement of who goes where on the list, I'm going to remind you of that particular statement. Should you forget that you made it?
Yeah. Okay. but I have to stop giving out this. Well, you know, yeah.
My
top pick is about me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't know. Again, nobody knows. We don't know. In fact, who do you want to talk about? We'll give a little tease. Who do you feel like talking about next time? Anybody in mind that you want to talk about next?
Let's talk about Cruise.
Let's do Cruise. That was exactly what I was thinking too. Let's talk Tom Cruise because unfortunately, as of the time we're recording, the new Mission Impossible movie just got shut down for a little while for a positive COVID test. So it is in the news, but also it got me thinking about, and I saw some tweets slandering Mission Impossible 2, which is just, we'll get into that. But you're going to find me going on a rant about Mission Impossible 2 is way better than everybody gives it credit for. And I will accept no other arguments. But yeah, man, let's talk Tom Cruise. I think that'll be fun. We'll do it. So until next time, I am Mike Scott, and I am joined by
Scott Adkins. The two Scots.
The two Scots. It is funny when I see when Mike and Scott, I'm like, that always like throws me. Mike and Scott talk about this. I'm like, oh yeah, that is weird.
Like the two Ronnies, the two Scots. I don't know if you know what the two Ronnies are. It's an English thing. Never mind.
I was gonna say, well, we don't need to get bogged down, but yeah. Anyway,
all right. Anyway, I'm gonna be a bit more woke up on the next podcast. Okay, a little bit sleepy tonight. Sorry, Arnold. You're the man. But let's get into it next time.
Let's do it, man. All right, folks, we'll talk to you soon.
See you, mate.